I just read about an all-Muslim girl prom in Detroit. So their prom was like mine, pork-free. If LeVar Ball was my dad growing up, I would have lost my virginity before my younger brother did. For starters, LeVar Ball would throw me house parties and only invite stuck-up Jenny from the block for a game of spin the bottle. 2 seconds into the party, LeVar Ball barks in stuck-up Jenny's ear, "The Yoo-hoo bottle doesn't spin itself, bitch! Can I get a holla for some A-plus primo college? You're welcome. Back to killing. Stay at home comedian slays again. Holla! Thank you very much!" Concerned texts from former buds since I came out as a stay-at-home shemale comedian slayer after seeing shades of me in the new Joker film. Killing on Kimmel should be enough when the Joker suffocates his mother to death. Did you feel strangled by despair because the Joker's mother thought less of her son's comedy ambitions than your own mom does? Joker could have been Bruce Wayne, but you were born with a silver spoon and a vape pen in your mouth in the not-so-rough section of Scarsdale, New York, and got to take your SATs untimed. So what's your excuse for taking so long to make it as a big-time, stay-at-home, shemale slayer comedian already? Holla! Thank you very much! Blog post titles that express the price I've paid for being a blacklisted, stay-at-home, shemale slayer comedian / off-the-list Trumpian shit talker truther of the most deplorable order. Holla! Thank you very much! Number one, shouting at fake news divider devils, Nikki Six Liz. Holla! Thank you very much! Hate speech is pro Trump. Trash talk, Larry Bird Lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Free speech ain't free, Jack. GoFundMe. My parents won't anymore either. Holla! Thank you very much! Kids are the best slacker alerts ever. Don't you think? My son says, "Daddy, no Peloton today?" I say, "I got food poisoning from the halal guys." Son says, "Enough with the excuses, Daddy. You're worse than Hillary. Can I get a holla for Hillary? Hammer time cankles. Striking again. A.K.A. Huma liquor breath. Holla. Boom shakalaka. Thank you very much. Fuck China. Chinese made fentanyl has killed more crackers in this country than Lena Dunham kicking it with Taylor Swift on Instagram. Holla! Thank you very much! Bruce Jenner wasn't asexual when he was married to Kris Jenner, but I bet Bruce Jenner stayed harder, longer, after he urged Kris to cut her hair short so she'd look more like a dolled up version of Ralph Macchio. Pat Morita lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Why don't I wear a mask? Because stay at home, comedian slayer, dads aren't considered essential workers according to The Atlantic. Holla! Jemele Hill, resist this. Thank you very much! Ethan Hawke banging his nanny when he was married to Uma Thurman was such a Gen X slacker move when you're an actor between films. While she's busy shooting Kill Bill 1 and 2 in a row, you never have to leave the couch. Holla! Thank you very much! It's hard to feel like you're a man going places when you're a stay-at-home shemale slayer comedian, especially when your wife's smartphone sends her an alert after you've made another questionable purchase. Wife calls, hey babe, so how was Bride of Chucky? Holla! Jennifer Tilly lives. Thank you very much! HR. Will commuting to the city be an issue? Do it all, Dad. After looking after three kids for three summers in a row, without centralized AC, a commute on Metro North will feel like a 5-week rave in Germany. Holla! Your trash lives. Thank you very much! This is an impersonation of my daughter, Singing Rose Shoshana Kornbluth, playing the role of in-house marriage counselor again. Pause, Daddy. Mama got your point mid-breath. Holla! Thank you very much! My wife just got my daughter a puberty book at 9. I said to my daughter, don't worry, Tilly. If you take after Mama, you won't be weighed down by busty beauties like Jennifer Tilly. Callback special, deluxe number 1. You're welcome. Holla! Thank you very much! Do you remember Beyonce sitting at the national anthem during the Super Bowl before J-Lo put her kids in fake news cages and banged a stripper pole to death, hoping Ben Affleck would drunk dial her again? Meanwhile, the Queen of England took one look at Beyonce, 2 gin and tonics in, and says to her royal butler, and I thought Meghan Markle was a royal pain in the ass. Old school white privilege lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Kanye West slays Big J. You're with Kaepernick. I'm with Jim Brown. One ruined the NFL. The other reforms gangbanger Browns. Give it up, Jay. Your time is past. The world no longer cares about your New Jack Hustler pass. Congratulations, you campaign for Hillary's satanic past. You salute the black power on SNL, yet give no money to crack babies you pushed into premature hell. Kanye lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Jeff Ross roasting Jay-Z in the VIP room on Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, Jay, don't you think child separation can be a good thing? I mean, look how you turned out. Plus, if Coco never got separated from his parents, he never would have become a mini Los Lobos in the making. And why did Beyonce sit out the national anthem, Jay? Let me guess. She hated Demi Lovato's version of the national anthem because she sounded too much like the white privileged version of Alabama Shakes. Holla! Thank you very much! Tom Brady claims his cameo at a massage parlor on Netflix wasn't a dig at Patriots owner Bob Kraft, adding, look, nobody is perfect. Giselle is 80 in model years, plus, off the record, her uppity lisp isn't winning Giselle any popularity contests over Tyra Banks either. Last, Bob Kraft only uses older happy enders who weren't yanked off the boat yesterday. Holla! Thank you very much! This is Cory Booker flirting with Rosario Dawson backstage at a Broadway playhouse. Was it you or Chloe Sevigny who got AIDS in kids? Just playing. In the end, that white bitch didn't feel so privileged after all. Holla! Thank you very much! This is my impression of Dr. Dre and Eminem discussing Microsoft's merger with LinkedIn. Dr. Dre says,
hey Slim, Microsoft paid $4.5 billion for LinkedIn.
Eminem says, word! LinkedIn is lamer than ever, yo! Holla! Thank you very much! Trump was the new Hitler. Eminem, you do realize Trump lifted the lifetime ban on Jewish membership after he bought Mar-a-Lago. Slim on Fact Shady. Holla! Thank you very much! Last year, for a homeschooling project post-corona, I helped my son write a story using the Pixar story mapping method that went like this. Once upon a time, there was a soldier named Gung Ho who would treat Cobra Commander like his gimpy bitch in Pulp Fiction. Every day, he'd get a new gun because he'd always lose the last. One day, he found all his missing guns. Because of that, he started talking to his lone gun. Until finally, Gung Ho married his gun. I had my son name his story Semi-Automatic Love. Can I get a holla for a school assignment? Then get my son suspended from school because it was fucking hardcore hilarious. And Bad Boy Soy Boys, before my son came out as a full-time co-sharing comedian, or nothing to fuck with. Holla! Thank you very much! Hate is good. Because it motivates you to seek out places where your presence is valued and appreciated. Like at a Trump rally before he let democracy die under his watch. To make your sex life back then above average again. Put my man meat in Indiana Melf. I'm ready to play. Mellencamp lives. Holla! Thank you very much! How will Joe Biden, aka Mr. Groper, help end the pandemic? Will he let doctors who prescribe hydrochloroxine keep holding on to their medical license too? Vanilla Fudge lives. Holla! Thank you very much! W. Posting fake news, thought leadership tweets, or having any followers who give a shit about what he has to say on anything, especially on how to capture the essence of a maimed Navy SEAL's essence within a finger painting he gave PTSD D2 is weird. It's like Jon Stewart regretting his decision to retire prematurely to showcase his post-Obama wokeness on Laura Ingraham, admitting, "Laura, I should have stuck with shaving and kissing Bruce Springsteen's ass on The Daily Show for a living." Holla! Thank you very much! Jon Stewart adds, "Laura, what I really miss the most is slipping Bruce a new mix of Gary Clark Jr. performances from South by Southwest underneath his dressing room at The Daily Show before Showtime. One time he opened the door as I was doing so, but I played it cool and said with a straight face, 'This doesn't mean I have a crush on you, boss.' Holla! Thank you very much!" LeBron James wants to become president of the United States just so he could tell Laura Ingraham to stick to being a less ghoulish Ann Coulter for a change. Holla! Thank you very much! The poor sports from dicks. Kids learn bad habits from dad, but not according to an out-of-shape, late, middle-aged sales rep for Dick's Sporting Goods in Danbury, Connecticut. I'm about to buy a boxing bag for my kids and say, "Kids learn bad habits from dad. That's why I wasted my youth on smoking cigarettes and watching the Knicks stink up the joint year after year." The dick-headed, defiant sales rep from Dick's, who was no younger than 70, whose body was no temple of fitness either, replies, "That's not true, because my dad smoked cigarettes, and I was an athlete. My kids are athletes, too." I say, "So your sons force you to work at Dick's for their employee store discount? I don't get it. I don't get it." Tom Hanks. Old school Tom Hanks and Big Lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Also, what sport did you letter in? Because being an all-around dick doesn't count. Because if you didn't smoke, why should I give a shit about your kids being considered athletes either? Unless your athlete sons earn sports scholarships to prove white man's disease doesn't matter because they can drain jumpers with their eyes closed. And if that isn't the case, I'm not interested in your motivational coach assessment abilities. Sorry. Holla! Thank you very much! Uncomfortably queasy. Weekend memories of my mom's Kraft mac and cheese. Don't fill me with comforting ease. For some reason, the mere image of a half-eaten bowl in the sink gives me imminent deathly chills inside. Like the time I started pissing on myself from snorting crystal meth prior, thinking it was just exceptionally pure, uncut cocaine, because after only one line, 5 hours later, I kept pronouncing out loud for all of Hermosa Beach to hear, "This shit is great!" Like a coked out Tony the Tiger used to bad coke, which tastes like chalky Ajax. In my mom's defense, she worked full-time as a loan officer for J.P. Morgan in Manhattan, so I can't blame her for mailing it in on Saturdays. By throwing together some Kraft mac and cheese, knowing my dad's half-ass, surly, undersalted, sickly-looking, off-yellow scrambled eggs made before basketball practice on Saturdays weren't filling me with unconditional, lovely cheer either. Again, I can't totally shit on my parents' half-hearted weekend creations in the kitchen throughout the 80s and early 90s because brunch wasn't a thing yet, nor was any craft put into making mac and cheese from scratch yet, using a plethora of fancy, foreign, pricey cheeses, such as specks of imported Parm, always sultry smooth, Italian fontina, or rind-free French brie. Lobster, mac and cheese, wasn't conceived yet by some fabulous brunch visionary hotspot restaurant owner in West Hollywood who longed for something dreamier to sink his teeth into at noon on a Saturday hungover, basking in the gorgeous LA patio sun after being burnt out on being reared on fried egg top cheeseburgers from Fatburger and Van Nuys as a kid, who shared less in common with Adam Carolla growing up than the wheatgrass bartender for Jamba Juice on Ventura Boulevard, Tom Petty lives. Holla! Thank you very much! So, for Super Bowl Sunday this year, this old G decided to make my own Mac Daddy version of mac and cheese. To make my three kosher-tarian comedian children yell with unmatched glee. Party time! Excellent! I feel the funk! Not! Who's that black chick with Austin Powers in that commercial, Daddy? Is she a mini-me version of Queen Latifah? I don't get it. My plan of attack was to create a Mac Daddy and cheese that wasn't too cheesy, like the Phantom of the Opera halftime show, because nothing screams halftime entertainment more than a bunch of jilted, creepy-looking dancers in masks putting on a Zero Thrills production of Phantom of the Opera meets Friday the 13th during the year of COVID-19, which has unmasked all the propagandists in the media. Unibrow Matto included, obviously, who prop up fake news working class heroes, such as Bruce Springsteen, who blames his manager for never paying taxes till he got on the cover of Time magazine after Born to Run blew up. But I digress. Bruce pretended he was on acid to avoid being drafted, yelling, "War! Huh! What's it good for?" Besides fodder for my upcoming Born in the USA album about my fake news brother who dies in Vietnam. Does your office look like a Salvador Dali poster? That where Salvador Dali takes a giant kaleidoscope shit on your desk? And why does Uncle Sam keep pointing at me, man? It's not my fault. Sandy is a miserable, knocked-up diner waitress who was born to cry in the dark and die alone in the Swamp Thing state. Holla! Thank you very much! Still, the Super Bowl is an American tradition, so I base my Mac Daddy and Cheese dish around the East Coast standard. Always unifying, pretentious-free, yellow, Land O'Lakes American cheese. Understand, my wife openly detests American cheese because she's a more evolved hick who grew up in the hinterlands of Brisbane, Australia, who grew up playing with mud in the yard, knowing that she only grew up with two TV stations in the Outback. And if you've seen one episode of Astro Boy, you've seen them all. So, making my star standalone dish for Super Bowl Sunday based on yellow Land O'Lakes American cheese required some level of American-made balls. Knowing what potential all-knowing resistor fury lurked in the nearby distance as Tom Brady continued the greatest winning streak in life ever recorded, which helps when you're reunited with the always reliable Gronk as your go-to money in the bank tight friend. At the same time, I didn't want the American cheese to be the sole attraction, similar to The Weeknd surrounding himself with the most unattractive, peaceful protesters against the savagery of self-esteem enhancing plastic surgery within the Sunshine Scurrying State. Holla! Thank you very much! My kids love broccoli, like myself, assuming you make it with love. De-stem all the florets, blanch them in a bucket of ice water. You'd pour on Bill Parcells, if it was made of Gatorade back in the day, before I sautéed them in a butter, high-end olive oil, sliced shallots, and peeled up bits of garlic to ensure the gorgeous flowers of green matched the intensity of the hop-forward wonderfulness of my pounded 90-minute Dogfish IPA prior, which took me only 9 minutes to finish my second. Holla! Thank you very much! I use pasta, macaroni shells, from some Italian pasta maker, which costs $3 max, which totally contrasts charges of my wife being a spendthrift wastoid 24/7, 8 days a week. Holla! Thank you very much! I'm not going to call my Mac Daddy and Cheese the Tom Brady of mac and cheeses, although my four-year-old son continuing to polish off his bowl even after his mac and cheese cooled is still sustained excellence in my book, too. Holla! Thank you very much! Bad boy, soy boy, can I get a holla? Old school Puff Daddy lives again. Holla! Thank you very much! Once upon a time, there was a biracial Korean Jewish kid from the Riverdale section of the Bronx, Stephen Park, otherwise known as Bad Boy Soy Boy, since he unleashed his nunchucks of fury at a block party on a bunch of shit-talking, instigating black gangbangers who wore the same white beater, cornrows, and cut-off jean shorts, looking like they were dressing up for Coolio Appreciation Day, who never dared to call Bad Boy Soy Boy a COVID chink in his miss ever again, as he cracked one cornrow-braided skull in two after another, without breaking a sweat in a New York minute. David Carradine lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Son of Sam in the 70s was scary, no doubt. But the surge in hate crimes against Jews and Asians in the boogie-down Bronx, Jersey City, and throughout the island of Manhattan were at an all-time high, with no relief or added protection in sight, especially after Trumpy Poo allowed democracy to die under his once super strong watch. Holla! Thank you very much! Cops today were younger, softer, and far less hardcore than their 9/11 predecessors. Nobody in the force today possessed the balls to make money on the side through good old-fashioned extortion, like 99% of the force in the movie Serpico. Bail was banned in New York. Garbage filled the streets. Rats grew the size of Lena Dunham during restaurant week after challenging Leslie Jones to a junior's cheesecake off. But even these woke, large, and in charge funny women couldn't believe what a scary shithole their cherished concrete jungle of yesteryear had become in 4 years flat. Crazy talk slogans punctured the air, such as ban ICE because Homeland Security was so weapons of mass destruction years. John Stewart lives. Holla! I still love you, bud. Thank you very much! It's no excuse to mug Chinese grandma in Chinatown, yet the maiden Wuhan virus made New Yorkers at large crazier than ever, placing misplaced faith in a news media hell-bent on feeding more unregulated hate and fear into the nation, about black men in America being America's most hunted, despite not one enlightened BLM member, executive in charge, encouraging their fellow brothers and sisters to just stop resisting arrest, or to resist the temptation to run out on a $200 dinner check in South Beach for spring break. God forbid. Every day, Bad Boy Soy Boy worked at his parents' deli in the South Bronx, despite living in the leafier, more snuggle soft confines of Riverdale in the Bronx, where abandoned, torched, burnt down buildings to salvage a semblance of ROI from the insurance company were less common than a B-plus Korean student at Bronx Science. Bad Boy Soy Boy had to bite his lip at the deli every time some brother would come in there talking endless shit that any fear of repercussion, yelling, COVID chink this, COVID chink that. Despite him being half Korean and half Jewish, it didn't make a difference because cum bucket dumpsters such as Cardi B today were deemed heady, culture enriching poets from the street whose gaping, sloppy third snatch couldn't be beat, allegedly. Jim Rome lives. Holla! Thank you very much! But one day, Bad Boy, Soy Boy, decided enough was enough. So he opened a medicinal speakeasy weed milk bar in Bergen, New Jersey, as a front to offer nunchuck self-defense classes for Asian Americans based in any of the five boroughs willing to make the schlep to fight for their life, to live out the protracted, rapidly fading American dream with a semblance of peace and mind as they raged against the dying of the light. Dylan Thomas and Ronnie Live. Holla! Thank you very much! Now, Bad Boy, Soy Boy, self-defense, nunchucks of fury class became the number one tourist destination in Bergen, New Jersey history. Not that there was much stiff competition in this department to begin with, but Bad Boy Soy Boy had a college roommate from the University of Pennsylvania who he talked to on the phone every day, who worked as a rock star chef for a Korean food truck in Old City in Philly, known for their Korean egg roll, cheesesteak, hot pocket, breakfast treats, who now had to invest in a bulletproof vest-covered food truck in Old City, which was once the only really safe area in Philly outside of Center City on Chestnut Street. But safe spaces for Asian Americans were now deader than Jeremy Lin's chances of gracing the cover of Sports Illustrated seven times in a row, again and again and again, especially since J.R. Smith bitched to the Knicks management about the golden child from Harvard who plopped into their lap out of the freaking blue because he was hogging the garden spotlight and the bike driving lane all for himself. Holla! Thank you very much! Asian Americans, including Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, we never bothered to study martial arts, thinking it wasn't necessary to learn from 1994 to 2020. We're flocking to Bad Boy Soy Boy's self-defense nunchucks of fury class. Bad Boy Soy Boy's grandfather, Michael Kornbluth, was a Holocaust survivor when all the brown shirt Antifa members of their day banned guns. He used his own nunchucks of fury, give it to him from his Korean father-in-law and cracked Nazi skulls hyped on crystal meth all his way to freedom, avoiding Nazi persecution like his 6 million brothers and sisters before him. Who pawned enough Nazi gold teeth from the skulls he cracked into with his nunchucks of fury to buy a boat pass to New York City, establish a family of his own with his own reflexology wife therapist, and became a proud first generation deli owner, getting Jewish New Yorkers hooked on kimchi for more reasonable outs from ever having to slip their wife some extended tongue ever again. Both young and old Asian Americans no longer had to live in helpless, paralyzed fear, all thanks to Bad Boy Soy Boy teaching them the infinite beatdown possibilities unleashed from the almighty nunchuck strikes of fury to ensure they were never fucked with again in the name of the COVID chink virus or not. Because Bad Boy Soy Boy was on a mission from God to prove Bruce Lee's weapon of choice ain't nothing to fuck with. Holla! Bruce Lee lives. Thank you very much. The F.U. Pizza Bagel Supreme. Coltrane lives. Love Supreme. Love Supreme. Holla! Thank you very much. I've never outgrown my love of hair metal or temptation to try any pizza bagel, regardless of it conjuring memories of icky Frostburn or blue balls on the slow dance floor at bar mitzvah parties back in the day before dick pics became the death of small talk. I strongly recommend making your own pizza bagels, assuming you live in New York and have access to bomb sesame bagels, flush with endless crackle crunch and doughy lightness, greatness within, versus the cardboard coated Einstein bagels, which suffer from extreme shrinkage problems, tasting like synthetic mass-produced carbs for older than dirt Jews in Florida who are more fixated with getting their cream cheese fix by any means necessary, assuming they have fuck-up kids who can't even handle airmailing them smoked salmon and bagels from Russ and Daughters for special occasions instead. Bagels are a source of pride for native New Yorkers, like 24-hour Greek dieners, 4 a.m. last calls, or the old school Yankee Stadium before the new one was built, otherwise known as the house that gentrification built. I still don't understand why other states outside of New York and New Jersey suck at making bagels so much. The other day, I'm in a riffing mood, so nothing new, and going to mini rant about a new double IPA offering by Stone Brewing from San Diego with my local beer guy at DeChico's, and say, that new double IPA tall boy from Stone for $3 a pop is an incredible deal for a double IPA, which tastes so damn mineral, fresh, rich. I'm convinced San Diego has access to some special reserve water stream that gives the FU to New York State's highly hailed natural tap water reservoirs, which cascade all the way down from the Catskills Mountains and Gorges from Ithaca, New York, my old school stomping ground, when I attended Ithaca College, otherwise known as Cornell's retarded next-door neighbor. But I was in the much-hyped Roy H. Park School of Communications, so I could take a couple of bong hits back in the day and manage not to stutter every other 2 seconds. It's especially hard to bite your tongue whenever your English mother-in-law from Manchester relocated to Greenville, Delaware, and biting country, whose new state motto should be changed to, "Your Nazi gold is safe with us." Again, it's especially hard to bite your tongue whenever your English mother-in-law from Manchester relocated to Greenville, Delaware, in biting country, who had to share a bucket growing up for number twos, goes off in the alleged superior, more compact bagels of England. Sure, the Brits make better bagels than Italians, Jews, and illegal Mexicans in New York, who will most likely die in the job in fucking triple mass uttering, "No more whole wheat everything bagels! Choke on a calzone, Cuomo! You punta bitch! The end! Holla! Thank you very much!" Now, every town doesn't have access to cured, delectable, fishy-free, neutralizing, deep orange-hued sliced slivers of Nova salmon made to be paired with a toasted sesame bagel on top of a fairly medium homemade cream cheese schmear, the way constellations of moles belong on uppity English wenches residing in Chelsea and beyond. So, what can you do to spice up a bagel to outshine a homemade pizza bagel? Using your own homemade spice up roused tomato sauce, interspersed with loads of sliced off pieces of garlic, and pulverized, always juicy, fresh, cooked down San Marzano tomatoes, which make you proud to be on a friendly first name basis with most pizza maker Italian Americans. Easy. Make your own homemade salsa with cherry tomatoes, 3 substantial jalapenos, a mini-me handful of fresh cilantro leaves, a crescent moon size of red onion, a bulb of garlic, thrown into the Cuisinart mixer for 4 swirl rips or more, and you're already more than halfway there to the promised F.U. Pizza Bagel Supreme Land Jimmy lives. Holla! Thank you very much! The last step is shredding some cheddar. New York made is fine too, which adds assertive, musky heft while pairing beautifully with the sweet yet warming, springy, fresh salsa, prompting your kids to murmur while still chewing with their mouths half full, "This is delicious, Daddy, but give me more salsa next time and be funnier than Weird Al before my birthday or I'll kill you with our sharpest knife for real." Holla! Thank you very much! The Mexican Jew Boy Bagel Supreme is so good, even Antifa would cater a shiva for a killed ICE agent on President's Day in Boca Raton with Trumpy Poo passing through. Can I get a holla for the stay-at-home shemale comedian slaying again with A-plus punctuated food writer prose Bourdain lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Trading birthdays. Nobody wants to be born on January 3rd. At that point, everybody is either party out or enacting New Year's resolutions already. Honestly, by day 3 of partying in a row, whether you're just drinking or doing drugs, combining the two, or you're just dancing the days away at a 5-week rave in Germany based on pure adrenaline and highly charged sexualized vibes alone, you're still dragging like Hunter Biden on any given Monday afterwards. If God gave you the universe, you morphed into Bad Boy Soy Boy, a.k.a. Art Show USA, who was born on New Year's Day, inspiring his dear Dada to call him number one Capricorn. His dear Dada didn't nickname him number one Capricorn to make him an insufferable know-it-all twat bore. But to praise the Almighty, the Most High, Hashem, for perfecting human civilization with his pitch-perfect, beautiful boy, who he blessed with out-of-this-world good looks, hilarious acting chops, and a beautiful builder, artist mind, ripe with unlimited imaginative, topping possibility, who miraculously, in contrast to his father and everything he did, exhibited a putz-free flow. Holla! Thank you very much! I'm also positive. Bad Boy Soy Boy, a.k.a. Archo USA, would make a great-looking brother like Rick Fox if he used the blackface filter on Instagram, too. Every day, Archo USA's best friend, Sean Wayne Stein, resented his existence half the time because he was born on January 3rd and had less birthday rocker gathering memories than the Elephant Man had bottles thrown at his head for trying to crash games of Spin the Bottle after his black tie makeover one too many times turned out to be a bigger debacle than trusting Dominion to ensure democracy ever existing ever again. Holla! Thank you very much! One day, Archer USA was having lunch with Sean at school, and he says, "Why don't we trade birthdays, Sean? I was born on New Year's Day, as you know, which everyone treats like their own personal birthday celebration. So everyone is in a perpetual state of good cheer until they strike out at midnight in their desperate dash to suck face with the nearest available girl to love. So you don't feel like a loser benchwarmer scrub in junior high again and again. When you're born on New Year's Day, everyone is out of the house to celebrate their unique brand of specialness, allegedly, with their planned lifetime partners in love. Whether it's not done out of begrudging spite or not. The point is, even if you're stuck home alone on New Year's Eve, have zero friends to party with, parents who don't reserve much bonding time with you ever, if they could avoid it, unless they feel stranded, in addition to being overwhelmed with a feeling of pronounced, pangy, empty and tried loneliness, when they retire to Arizona in their more advanced, retired, CNN-consuming years amid so-called pandemic scares, where fewer people died this year than last, you could still make out with your blown-up balloons with pretty drawn-on faces and not feel completely deflated for making out with a poor man's blow-up doll because deep down, you know, you're not the only one making an extra effort to reward yourself with some extra good loving on New Year's Eve or not. You're my best friend, and I love celebrating your birthday on January 3rd with just you. Like the 1 year we went duck pinning, had the entire place to ourselves, or the time we had an entire laser tag room to ourselves, or the time we snuck into weird week Howard Stern's floor seat to see the Knicks because he was still debloating at home, meaning one too many turkey burger salads at Jimmy Kimmel's house for New Year's. Still, it feels cooler to be in Manhattan on your birthday than in an abandoned duck pin bowling alley in Danbury, Connecticut that looks more dated than the low-rent, white-out paint job on the walls. Sean says, "I appreciate the gesture, Art Show. I've thought about what it would feel like to have myself celebrated on New Year's Eve instead of on January 3rd, which gives sloppy thirds a bad name. And you're a good friend for offering to trade birthdays for the year. Now I know why you spent all that time watching those graphic design tutorials on YouTube to make me a fake ID, reflecting my New Year's Day birthday, just so I could hear a bouncer at some swanky club in the city look at my ID and say, "Oh, snap! Happy birthday, New Year's boy! Don't forget to pace yourself!" I postponed New Year's resolution until January 2nd because you're not sleeping tonight. Archo says, "I did make you a fake ID for your birthday. I know you don't drink alcohol like me, but I wanted to give you the feeling of being a number one Capricorn for a change." Sean says, "Again, I appreciate the gesture, Archo, but I actually prefer the celebrities born on January 3rd. Eli Manning was born on January 3rd, and he's a much bigger pimp than Tom Brady. He's NFL royalty before we became a woke plague universe gone wild. Plus, Eli beat Brady in the Super Bowl and prevented his perfect season from happening due to him asserting his big-time clutch gene. So Brady is married to Giselle. Big deal. She's still 80 in model years. Callback special, deluxe number 2. You're welcome." Ah, thank you very much. Robert Loggia from Scarface was born on my birthday, who plays Tony's Jewish mobster boss for a bit, who drops the hilarious line, "Never underestimate the other guy's greed." Archo says, "I hear you, Sean." J.D. Salinger was born on New Year's Day like me, and he became a reclusive freak who spent 4 decades in the New Hampshire wilderness writing books for himself, like a tweaked Holden Caulfield on an endless trust-funded retreat with all his time-release Adderall delivered to his doorstep by his various pharmacists, groovy fanatics at large. So how much did he relish the company of others on New Year's Eve? Which I never really thought about until now. J. Edgar Hoover was a glamorized peeping Tom, also born on my birthday, New Year's Day. It's not as if mini-me born on New Year's Day, who died prematurely in his 40s, could boast a sustainable, long-lasting career with legs after Austin Powers 3. Sean says, "But we can't let your killer fake ID go to waste, Art Show. I read about a Beastie Boys cover rap trio group performing at some dive bar on the Lower East Side on New Year's Eve this year. Why don't we go there together and get our bodies moving to some intergalactic planetary? We'll have to fight for room to dance because of the ban on smartphone devices to make old school hip-hop city life great again." Archo says, "Didn't you say the name of this gastropub on the Lower East Side was called Hip-Hops?" Sean says, "You got it, Archo. With a friend like you in my corner, I'll always have a bigger hop to my step than the rest." Lobster mac and cheese wasn't conceived just yet by some fancy